Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. My name is Carrie Cunningham, and you are listening to My Weekly Mixtape with Brian Coburn. Tonight, we are talking about some of my favorite amazing country female artists. Get ready to get your country on. Yeehaw!
Welcome to My Weekly Mixtape, a podcast that takes the classic mixtape approach to building a modern playlist. I'm your host, Brian Coburn. Joining me tonight is country music artist Carrie Cunningham. Carrie, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate you having me on. This is exciting.
It certainly is. And if I'm correct, the night we're recording, I'm going to break the fourth wall here. Today, I can also say happy birthday, Carrie.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I thank you for taking time out of your day to talk music tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of my favorite things to talk about.
Well, I am going to start by asking you the same question I ask all of my first time guests. And that is, what does the word mixtape mean to you?
Mixtape means all my favorite songs that I can just jam out to. And it also brings me back to, actually, it brings me back to my husband, because he used to make me little mixtapes and send them off to me. Well, I guess they were mix CDs,
yep.
You know, but the same concept. And so when I think of a mixtape, I definitely think about when my husband and I were dating.
When my wife and I were dating, we were a long distance relationship, New Jersey to New Hampshire. So anytime one of us would travel to the other, we would always burn mixed CDs for each other. And a couple of times over the last decade, now that we are two kids into a 20-something year marriage, a song will come on. I'll be like, do you remember when I put this on? She goes, you made me probably 5,000 mixed CDs in the first year we were together. No, I don't remember every song from them.
Yeah, right? That's awesome. And I think my favorite song on one of the CDs, because he made a couple, is probably The Best Is Yet to Come. Well, that's how he labeled it. And so it stays in my mind, but it was a jazz artist. I'm trying to think of which version of The Best Is Yet to Come and Baby Won't It Be Fine. I can't remember who it was.
But well, you need to record a version of it, obviously, because that sounds great.
Thank you. I love jazz. Like, I used to moonlight as a jazz artist when I was also doing my country stuff. But if somebody didn't have room for a country artist, then I'm like, well, can I put on my stilettos? And they're like, yes, you may. Come on in.
That is awesome. Well, tonight, Carrie and I are going to be creating the ultimate modern female country artists mixtape. So as someone who is a female country artist, what are you looking for in the songs you're bringing to the table tonight?
Oh, what am I looking for? I love music that really resonates either like in a storytelling format or in a fun, funky way, something that makes you feel good and want to dance. As far as like me being a musician, I always get trapped in that moment where I want to be either going, am I singing this to a theater group where they're just sitting there listening to me? Or am I singing it to my honky tonk rodeo crowd? And so it's a daily battle on what I feel like listening to. So it's going to be fun mixing it up with you tonight.
Well, let's get down to business. Tonight, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Carrie and I will be curating a modern female country artist's mixtape, and we're going to use that old cassette deck approach. Carrie, as my special guest, will begin side A with her first song choice, and then I'll add a song that I feel best follows up that choice. We'll then flip-flop choosing songs until we've mapped out 10 songs for side A. We'll then give our mixtape a proverbial flip, and we'll map out side B, only this time I'll kick things off with Carrie choosing second. Our overall goal for this episode is to craft the best modern female country artists mixtape possible through only 20 songs. And at the end of the show, you can take our conversation to the next level by visiting the episode page at myweeklymixtape.com to give our final mixtape a listen via the embedded playlist. And if you like what you're hearing on the show, you can help me out by either telling a friend, leaving the show a 5-star review wherever you're tuning in, or becoming a Patreon mixtaper at patreon.com/myweeklymixtape. And a few of the Patreon mixtapers chimed in with songs that they would suggest we use to kick things off tonight. So I want to give a quick shout out to a few of those. David Owens chimed in with Miranda Lambert's Gunpowder and Lead, saying it is her first top 10 single, and he feels she's pretty influential for female country in the 2000s. Tom Hutchinson chimed in with Priscilla Block's Hey Jack. Chad LaMassa chimed in with Britney Spencer's Bigger Than the Song, as he recently saw her open for Grace Potter and enjoyed the fact that she pays homage to all of her inspirations. And Chad also chimed in with Jamie Wyatt's Neon Cross. And Philip Bergman chimed in saying this is not a kickoff track, but maybe song two on side two can be the Secret Sisters' Tennessee Me. He loves the rustic feel to that one.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shouted Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
So with that out in the atmosphere, Carrie, I'm officially pressing the record button on our mixtape and the floor is yours. What song did you choose to kick off side A and why?
I am kicking it off with Lainey Wilson, Wildflowers and Wild Horses. I absolutely love Lainey. I have been a fan of hers since before she became superstardom Lainey Wilson. And when this album first came out, I went out and I downloaded the whole thing the very first day, and I was just absorbing it. And her songwriters or co-writers have such a unique way of just speaking the language of her, but resonating with everybody else. And that's what we strive for as songwriters and performers, to be able to reach out to everybody that's listening and connect with them. And sometimes it gets a little hard because we kind of get too personal, but I think Lainey just nails it. And Wildflowers and Wild Horses, that song, the moment I heard it, made me feel like I was back in my home state of Nebraska. And I was like, oh my word, I love everything about this album and about this song. So that's why I'm choosing this one first.
Could not agree more. Bell Bottom Country is probably my favorite country album of 2022. Maybe, quite possibly, my favorite album of 2022. The first time I put it on and heard it front to back, I had to sit back and say, did I just listen to that entire album and not even think about skipping anything? And I listened to it a second time through, and the way she weaves in between songs like Watermelon Moonshine, which is, I would say, a modern day Strawberry Wine by Dina Carter.
Exactly.
I feel like it has that same type of feeling where when you're listening to the lyrics of that song, it's got such a storyteller-like delivery to the song. You almost feel like you know Lainey Wilson listening to that song. But then a couple of songs later, you're flipping it into this funky 1970s swagger that is Grease. And then you throw on her cover of Four Non Blondes at the end of the album, What's Up? And I mean, she just slays it. She took home the prize for Best Country Album at the 2024 Grammys, deservedly so. So you totally scooped me on the artist. Love the song. Love the pick.
Perfect. Yeah.
And I think I'm going to follow it up with, I'm going to go back one more year. I'm going to go to 2021. In all my years of podcasting, I've had the chance to talk country only a few times so far. So I'm super stoked to be able to do this tonight. But one of the first country interviews I ever did was with an artist whose album Reckless was soon to be released. And I'm going to go with Morgan Wade, and I'm going to go with the track Wilder Days, which was co-written and produced by Sadler Vaden, who some might recognize from his tenure as part of Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. Now, I could go on and on about how much I love this song. However, because I was fortunate enough to chat with Morgan a few years back on my old Tune Styles podcast, she told a pretty cool story about recording this song with Sadler, and I want to play that clip now.
Wilder Days was a song that's literally like the first song Sadler and I worked on together, writing. And Wilder Days has been through so many processes, like just trying to figure out what's the right vibe for it. And it's always been, you know, a similar line. I remember the first night that we like really got the demo finished, it was like 10:30. And I'm an early bird, man. If I'm not touring, I'm like in the bed early. And this dude was so excited that he's like, we've got to go get ice cream and listen to this in the car. And he like burns a copy of it onto a CD, and we get in Sadler's Honda Element and we ride to Jenny's to get ice cream at almost 11 p.m. And this guy is like so excited. This song is, he's like blasting the song as loud as he can as we're riding through Nashville. So that was like the biggest memory I have of this song, because just the joy that Sadler had from doing that. And I remember waking up the next morning and he's, you know, sitting down there in his robe and his pajamas. And he's like, I have this other idea for it. And so it's great. It went from that to, you know, where we're at now. And it was like real organic, but we wanted it to kind of punch you in the face a little bit, but be one of those jam songs that also has meaning to it. And he definitely did that. that was all Sadler, you know, being able to really come up with the beat for that and really make all that groove. But it's exactly what I pictured in my head. And it's sometimes it's really hard to write something and you have this image in your head of like, okay, I want it to sound like this. I want it to look like this. But to actually do it is another thing. And we actually really did it for this song. And so this is a song that, you know, I was playing at shows and people were just freaking out wanting the song. Where can I get the song? And so we were like, we definitely have to put Wilder Days out, you know, as the first standalone single off the record.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. To me, Wilder Days is one of those top down on the convertible country road trip anthems. And it peaked at number 36 on the Billboard Hot Country Songs chart and really helped establish Morgan as a future force to be reckoned with in the country music space. So I feel like coming out of Lainey Wilson, Morgan Wade, the two of them really kind of have this vibe going right from the start. And I like where we're heading with this. So following up Lainey Wilson, I'm going to go with Morgan Wade's Wilder Days.
That sounds perfect. I couldn't agree more with you on that. When I first heard her, I was like, ooh, she's a little rebellious, and we kind of need that. You know, when you think about country music and rebellion with female country artists, you know, there's obviously like Miranda Lambert, people think, and then they think of Gretchen Wilson, you know, but Gretchen was very the rebel female in 90s country. And I think along those lines too, I also think of like Wynonna Judd for some reason, but Morgan, I think she's a perfect number two following Lainey Wilson on our mixtape.
Well, now I'm throwing it back to you to follow up with track three.
Well, I think that I'm going to go with Megan Moroney and her song, I'm Not Pretty. And reason why is because that was, I believe, single number two, following Tennessee Orange. And I wish I had written this song. I honestly wish that I'd written this song. I can relate to it on so many levels. Yeah, because I feel that like she was kind of looking into my diary at this particular moment. And I'm like, girl, how do you know my story? So I definitely want to continue on with her song, I'm Not Pretty. And I just think it resonates with so many younger women out there who, especially with the whole social media route going on right now, we can spy on anybody, you know, as long as their profile's not private. And if you're jealous, ugh, you go down that rabbit hole and, you know, you'll find fault in that new girl no matter what. And then you being the strong, confident new woman in this guy's life, it's just like, don't know what to tell you, sweet cheeks, you know, but move along. Just move. So yeah. So Megan Moroney.
So we're talking with something that came out just this past summer in 2023. That reached number 32 on the Hot Country Songs chart and just missed cracking the top 100. So this song was certainly making some waves. Now, the subject matter is something that I could tell you 20 years ago, I never would have thought would have been in a country song. But here we are because it is part of the culture we live in now. Social media is such a big part of human nature. It's kind of brought through its ugliest parts in this song. And there's that pop sensibility that is brought into this song that's not overly pop, but you could definitely feel that there's something about pop music now in country music that there's been a line that's been blurred, where you don't know at times when country ends and pop begins, because a lot of it has been thrown together and a lot of country songs are becoming crossover mainstream hits a lot quicker than they did, let's say, back in the 90s, where it took something extreme like a Shania Twain on the female side of things or a Garth Brooks on the male end of the spectrum to really cross over. Or a Billy Ray Cyrus, achy breaky heart moment. But now that line has been completely moved where the blurring happens more often and there's a lot of crossover appeal. And I think I'm going to tap into that with my next pick. I'm going to follow up Megan Moroney with an artist that started off pretty much in the pop realm, but has since pivoted to a more country style. And I know there's been some good and bad news recently over a performance for Dolly Parton at the Ryman on the Grand Ole Opry stage, but Ellie King has such a unique voice. The first time I heard X's and O's on the radio, I'm like, this song's going to be played at weddings for decades. Like, you just know when a song has that hook. And she brought it to country on her most recent album, which I wasn't sure when I read it on paper that she was going to do a country album. I'm going, I'm not quite sure how that's going to work. And the first time I heard her single Out Yonder from the 2023 album, Come Get Your Wife, it was instantly that moment of, yeah, she nailed it. Her voice is perfect for country. And she's definitely getting out there a lot more. I could see her being a big name in country moving forward if she continues down this path. And when I say this path, I'm talking totally about the music here, not her personal life and the things that she's facing ever since the Dolly Parton incident. I know with some artists, they weave in and out of country depending on the album cycle, but I'm guessing she might be here to stay with this one because the album as a whole is a pretty strong statement.
Yeah, I can't chime too much on Elle King, only knowing like X's and O's. I love that song. I used to perform that song a lot and really get down and dirty with that song. And I have listened to some of her songs. Yeah, more power to us bringing her into this mixtape and, you know, and allowing grace and giving her that moment of saying, you know, she is a great artist and a very unique voice. And, you know, I hope that with the whole Dolly Parton's issue that she had on the stage, I hope she gets the help that she needs. And from what I hear, she is getting the help she needs. So I expect her to come out a brand new person later on this year and shine, and, you know, her fans will still be there to support her.
I agree. I look, people, you can go on and on about issues that people have. Everybody has one issue or another, no matter what it is. And I always try to use grace when stories like that pop up, because not everything is what TMZ makes it out to be. Sometimes there are other things going on and you just aren't living in those people's shoes. So it might not have been her finest hour, but if it put her in the direction to get the help she needs, to put her on a path moving forward, I could see that being a positive from a negative.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
Well, following that up, we're back to you for track five.
You know what? I am following that up with a little bit of humor. I am going to take it down the aisle of, Brandi Clark. And with Brandi, I just want to say that with both Brandi Clark and Brandi Carlile, they're both from Washington State, and I have a huge following in the Northwest, and I used to live in Spokane and Seattle and Vancouver, Washington. And so I've been a fan of Brandi Clark and Brandi Carlile for a long time. So I am super happy that the two of them have been working together. I am super happy that Brandi won a Grammy last night. But following in my little sick humor with Elle King, my song of choice for Brandi Clark is Stripes. And I used to sing that song, and I think that was the first song that actually really helped her get noticed in Nashville, because she had been putting out all these songs that all these other artists were recording, but her as an artist wasn't really making waves in Nashville until she came out with her own album, 12 Stories. And 12 Stories ended up just taking off, and everybody was like, this is album of the year. This is so fantastic. And her song Stripes is so awesome. And so I want to follow it up with Stripes.
Well, one of my closest friends on the planet who I went to college with in North Carolina, and we've stayed friends for decades. And I want to say in like the last 5 years, he messaged me and said, you know, you're talking about country online. You've heard 12 Stories, haven't you? And I said, 12 Stories? He goes, Brandi Clark. I said, it's not ringing a bell. He goes, oh, Jesus. Hold on. And about a week later, I got a package in the mail, and it was a copy of 12 Stories on CD. And popping that in and hearing Pray to Jesus for the first time, I was like, Chris, maybe it's the New Jersey guy in me, but I don't know how I've gone this long and not heard Brandi Clark before. She is incredible. And everything she's done since then, I feel like her winning that Grammy is more a question of how did it take this long?
Long overdue. Yeah.
What a fantastic pick.
Thank you.
And I'm going to follow it up. I'm going to bring things down a little bit because we're at track six. And sometimes on a mixtape, you know, you're kind of going up, 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 and you want to bring it down a little bit and give everyone a breather. And there are certain songs that, when it comes to slow country songs, really create moments.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a song that came out in 2019 that, as a father, I have listened to this song. I have never once gotten through it without welling up. I have two beautiful daughters, and I know one day this song may come true, and I don't ever want it to, but it's realistic. I'm going to go with Ingrid Andress, More Hearts Than Mine.
Ah,
yes. The first time I saw her perform that song on the 2020 CMT Music Awards, when she broke down in tears, my wife looked at me. I'm like, did you start cutting onions? I'm like, what is happening here? Like, why am I so invested in this song? And I went back and I immediately bought it. As soon as that performance was done, I bought the album. And I went right to that song, and every time I hear it, and I'm just talking about it right now, and you could see this on the camera. I literally have goosebumps going up and down my arm. It is such a perfect storytelling song, and it just it breaks my heart, but it's also something where you can hear the family coming together in the lyrics. You feel like you know Ingrid by the end of that song. It's just so well written. It's so vulnerable, so personal, and it's just a beautiful song. So More Hearts Than Mine.
Oh, that's so perfect. I love that song. And the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, this is me and my daughter. This is so me and my daughter. And I had her listen to it, and she's like, I didn't tell her anything. I'm like, you should hear this song. And she's like, oh, that's us. I was like, yes. So I love it. Following that, since we are along kind of a little bit more mellow mood, it's always good to have like two, right, before we start to build it back up. Since I was talking about Brandi Clark, I would like to pay homage to Brandi Carlile. And I was thinking about doing a song from the High Women, but then I was like, no, I'll give Brandi Carlile her own song. And I'm going to go with The Joke. It's from 2017. And it's about all the struggles that us women have had to, well, actually it's not just us women. It's anybody that is different, whether you're a woman or whether you're gay or what have you, you know, talent and longevity and just being yourself, it always comes back around. And, you know, when she's like, the joke's on them. It's just like, and the way she delivers that hook is just like, oh, it just sends chills down my spine. And the first time I heard it, I'm driving, and I just remember I got teary-eyed because I was like, yes, you're 1,000% correct. The joke is on them, not on you. And so, The Joke by Brandi Carlile.
I became a Brandi Carlile fan back in 2007, the first time I heard The Story. I mean, that song just blew my mind. I had never heard anything like it. It was so powerful, so big, so bold. And then we talked about the Grammys just before with Lainey Wilson. If you watch the Grammys, I know we're still kind of hot on that moment this week because it just happened as the week we're recording this. But Brandi's performance with Joni Mitchell of Both Sides Now was literally the most beautiful performance I've seen on the Grammys in such a long time. And I know a lot of people right now are talking about the incredible performance of Tracy Chapman and Luke Combs doing Fast Car together. And that was a wonderful, wonderful performance. But Joni Mitchell's Both Sides Now just shredded me. I could barely see the screen through the tears of my eyes because it was such an emotional, beautiful performance. And you could see the admiration and love that Brandy had for Joni in that performance. Just the look, it was just so powerful and so emotional. I'm so glad you included her on this list, because you really can't talk modern country and not talk Brandy Carlile.
Absolutely. Well, and even, you know, me being a country singer up in the Northwest, a female country singer up in the Northwest, I just have to. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I just have to bring up Brandy Carlile and Brandy Clark.
Contractually obligated, all set.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit now, and I'm going to go with a song that came out in 2020 during the height of the pandemic. And this was a song that, you know, during the pandemic, it was a very downtime. Everything was negative. You turned on the news, it was just negative, negative, negative. And there was so much going on. It was such a stressful, horrible time that I turned to music to get a release and some joy and some happiness. And one of the most infectious and upbeat songs that came out in 2020 that truly was a delicate balance between country and pop. So this song truly had that crossover appeal. I'm going to go with Kelsea Ballerini's Hole in the Bottle.
Yes. Okay. All right.
This song, again, it's also international. It reached number one on Canada's country charts and number two in the U.S. for country airplay. It was a top 40 hit, meaning all genres. So there's that crossover appeal. It reached number 39. Now, if you're a person that likes your country to have less of the pop side of things, when Kelsey released the album, the CD version, and obviously on streaming, it's two separate albums, but there was a companion album called Ballerini, obviously, and there is a stripped down honky-tonk, almost bluegrass version of the song. So depending on where you sit with your country tastes, there's two versions. There's actually three versions of the song if you count the duet version she did with Shania Twain. So depending on where you stand, this song kind of really checks off all the boxes. And let's just be honest, it's just a ton of fun.
Yes. Yes, it is. Oh, I love Kelsey. I know we're not throwing it on the list, but when she came out with Miss Me More in 2017, I'm like, girl, like, you literally just spoke to every female on the planet with this song. We all can relate to this. It's happened to us at one point in our lives. So yeah, she's an amazing songwriter. And I'm going to follow it up with a Texas artist. I'm going to follow it up with Raelynn from her 2021 album, Baytown, and the song is called Keep Up. And Keep Up is a fun, fun honky-tonk song. I used to go around and sing it at rodeos, etc. But it's such a fun song about being, I guess, like a country girl and living in the city and still staying true to your roots and kind of just telling a guy, like, almost kind of like, anything you can do, I can do better with my boots on and my truck. And I'm a truck girl. I have a truck and it's just so much fun. So I'm going to say Raelynn and Keep Up.
Well, I was introduced to Raelynn back in 2012 when she appeared on The Voice. And she covered the Pistol Annie's Hell on Heels. Mm-hmm. And to pull that song off with authority speaks volumes. And the fact that she isn't so much bigger, because I really felt like she was a highlight of that season, even though she did not win. But I think to follow her up, to close out the side, we started with Lainey Wilson, who is one of the biggest names in country music right now. I'm going to go with one of the biggest names in country music over the last several decades, and I'm going to follow it up by bouncing off the fact that Raelynn was on The Voice, and I'm going to flip the channel and go over to American Idol and bring in an artist that we obviously have to talk about with modern country artists, and that's the amazing Carrie Underwood. And I'm going to go all the way back to 2005, because Before He Cheats is just one of those songs that I don't care what level of country fan you are, this song just hits. This song is powerful as all hell. It's the first country song ever to sell 2 million digital copies. And at one point was the best selling country song of all time. That is amazing. Now, think about the fact that a lot of the American Idol, The Voice, America's Got Talent, there's not a massive track record for success. Just because you're on the show doesn't guarantee you're going to be able to solidify a career beyond the show. There have been some winners that have just kind of fizzled over the years. Carrie Underwood was one of those ones that just eclipsed it and then some and became the benchmark for what people on these shows strive to become. And she still is putting out amazing music to this day. I was thinking about some of the songs from her latest album, but as soon as I heard the Before He Cheats kick in, I'm like, I gotta go with it. It's just that great of a song. So closing out side A, Carrie Underwood, Before He Cheats.
I approve this message. Well, and the fact that she was so nervous to even record the song, you know, that she asked permission from her mom. You know, she asked her mom, what do you think about this, mom? You know, am I going to shine a bad light on me? She was that worried. And that just shows, pays homage to her credit as a human being and the message that she wants to portray to other female artists, you know, and with her mom going, heck yeah, cut the song, you know, but it's just awesome that she thought about it first, about what kind of message she's putting out there and how her parents would see her, you know, and her faith and everything. So I give her massive kudos for that. And boy, talk about skyrocketing.
I mean, when Guns N' Roses asks you to join them on stage to sing, and I'll just say it with all due respect, I am a huge Guns N' Roses fan. Carrie annihilated Axl on stage. She sounded so amazing. Yeah. She could do a straight up hairband rock album and just murder it. And it would be amazing. I mean, if you think back to when she was on American Idol, she tackled Alone by Heart. Case closed. That is not an easy song to sing. I've tried to sing along with it terribly on many occasions. And she just slayed it. So there you have it, mixtapers. Side A of our modern female country artists mixtape, which kicked off with Lainey Wilson's Wildflowers and Wild Horses, Morgan Wade's Wilder Days, Megan Maroney's I'm Not Pretty, Ellie King's Out Yonder, Brandi Clark's Stripes, Ingrid Andress' More Hearts Than Mine, Brandi Carlile's The Joke, Kelsey Ballerini's Hole in the Bottle, Ray Lynn's Keep Up, and Carrie Underwood's Before He Cheats. Head over to myweeklymixtape.com to hear all the songs we've discussed in this mix through the playlist embedded on the episode page. Now, Carrie, I'd like to take some time to dive into some of your songs. So let's start with your latest track, Just Like.
Baby, on your weakest days, you always seem to find a way to be the light in any situation. See you time and time again, bringing out your selflessness. Show me what it means to be more patient. I was looking for a mirror image, but you got me seeing things all different. Just like these unexpected feelings for you, just might change the way I'm living. Yeah, to think that love was finding someone just like me, but you make me see it's finding someone who I wanna be. Just like.
On first listen, I hear in this song a very memorable groove. It immediately grabbed me, and you referred to the track as a term that I've never heard before: disco country.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, what inspired you to write a song with such a unique cross-genre approach?
Well, to be honest with you, I feel that over the years with my writing and what I release, I always felt that I was trying to stay current country and write for what everybody's wanting to hear, but I didn't feel like I was really resonating with myself as an artist, with what I grew up listening to. So I grew up listening to country music. I love country music, but I also grew up listening to Motown and Donna Summers and Lou Rawls and the Bee Gees and Diana Ross and the Supremes and the Mamas and the Papas. And that kind of music, those different genres really resonated with me my whole life. And so when I was working on Just Like with my co-writer, Riley Roth, we had finished it and we thought, oh, you know what? This is a beautiful like walk down the aisle song. And that was the tempo that we had it going to. And as I was driving around Nashville, I just kept feeling myself going, dun 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 dun. And I'm like, oh, this is definitely not the walking down the aisle like this. I mean, some people do, right?
Of course.
I was like, no. And I just started thinking, I'm like, no, you know what? You need to dive into the kind of person you really are. And I think it also helped with Lainey, again, bringing it back up to side A, with Lainey Wilson coming out with Bell Bottom Country. I was already kind of in the midst of writing this way because of my Showgirl album that came out in 2022. There's a few songs in there that have that like a little bit of a disco backbeat. My song Happy to Me, for instance. And so I was like, I'm just going to embrace who I really am. And that's how I ended up coming out, just saying, you know what? I'm going to be this disco cowgirl because that's who I am. I love disco. I love country music. And I even have a shirt that says Disco Cowgirl. So
So when you're in the studio producing this track, how do you strike that balance to where the scale, because this song, it never tips to where you say, oh, this is leaning too heavy disco, this is leaning too heavy country. You really struck a balance with the instrumentation on the track. How did you tell that story musically with the producer on this song?
So Scott Jarrow and I, he is the gentleman that was helping me produce the song. I was very adamant on when it came to talking to the musicians, especially the drummer. I think the drummer, the bass player are the two most important musicians in this style of music. Because you can have keys doing something, you can have guitar doing something, but if you don't have that backbeat with the drums and the funk on the bass, what have you, it just won't sound. And so with the drummer, I was talking to him and he was doing a couple things and I'm like, nope, that's just not what I'm hearing. Like, I need to hear the hi-hat like this. I need to hear the snare like this and hit these accents. And he just kept doing it until I was happy. And then, you know, and there was times when I would bring up a song, I'm like, I think we need to hit it more like this. And so they listen, I'm like, ah, they're like, we get what you're saying now. And then we would finesse it from there. And so when I have something in my head, when it comes to producing a song, I just keep working at it until it hits the way that I hear it. And sometimes, you know, I think musicians get frustrated with me, but yet the ones that really understand, they love it. Because it's pulling, because they want to be able to help me succeed in the vision that I have in my head. And I was just working with some amazing, amazing musicians that Scott had brought in for me. And Scott and I had this great communication, talking back and forth on exactly how I wanted to go and the exact instrumentation and making it a nice fine balance where it wasn't overproduced. And so, yeah, it was a conglomerate of the musicians and Scott and I working together and my overall vision.
Well, you might have coined a brand new phrase, disco country, that might become the next thing in female country music. So
I'm hoping so.
I mean, there's not often where I hear cross genres that I'm going, what? And when I saw disco country, I'm like, okay, you have my attention.
Thank you. We'll wait till the next single comes out.
I'm looking forward to it. But you did mention your 2022 album, Showgirl, and I want to jump back to that for a second and play a track now called Just a Bar Thing.
You're a tall drink of something I can get in trouble with. Mix you with a little rum. So good on my lips, get a buzz just for fun.
You can start this night off right by asking if I wanna dance. I might let you get up close enough. I think you got a chance. Yeah, who knows where this might go? But tonight it's just a bar thing, kicking back and drinking. I could see it could lead to a walk me to your car thing, swinging on the front porch, kissing behind closed doors. I don't see no harm in starting just a bar thing.
Now this song gives me that flirty 90s country vibe. And when I say 90s country, depending on the listener, they might question where I'm coming from with that, because there was the Shania pop country, but I'm hearing a little bit more of the Terry Clark 90s country sound, which was definitely much more rooted in country western music. And I've always wondered, do you feel like the 90s country sound is coming back into music now, as it's all very cyclical? Because I hear that influence on the song, but don't get me wrong, it sounds very much like a modern country song. It could work in both decades, and that's not an easy thing to pull off.
Ooh, thank you for saying that it also works in this decade.
No.
Yeah, well, definitely what I've been hearing the last year or two from publishers when they're looking for songs is, you know, they're definitely wanting songs that are kind of throwback to 90, but it has to have a current sound. And when we talk about 90s country, stuff that makes you want to dance, get on the dance floor and, you know, do some line dancing, but also lyrically have some sort of substance. And I'm not sure if like Just a Bar Thing is really like some sort of substance that they're looking for, but definitely one that makes you want to get out and dance and has a story to it.
It's flirty. It's fun. I mean,
very much so.
Sometimes that's all you need in a song is that happiness and joy.
Yeah. And well, I definitely pulled from reality on that song. I have to give credit to my dad for that. He threw that line at me. There's just a bar thing when he handed over his phone one night to some random dude at the bar, and my dad was showing this guy my picture, and the guy just happened to call me on my dad's phone in the middle of the night and left a message about how good looking I was. And he was in Nebraska at the time with my dad, and he was from Spokane, Washington, which is where I used to live. And he's like, yeah, we'd make a really cute couple, you know, so why don't you give me a call sometime, sweetheart? Okay, love you, bye. And I got freaked out and just texted my dad, and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, why, what do you say? And I'm like, well, he said all this blah blah blah. And my dad's like, oh, don't worry about it, Carrie, it's just a bar thing. And I go, I'm so mad at you, but I'm going to take what you just said and I'm going to write a song about it. So I ended up writing Just a Bar Thing because of that whole situation.
That is such a cool story.
Thank you.
The fun nature of that song is woven all throughout the Showgirl album. When you sit down to write an album like that, are you thinking, because in this day and age, the difference between the 90s and now, in this day and age, people are, their attention span has changed. And it's not so much the album anymore. The album as a whole, the thought process is more focused on a collection of singles. But Showgirl, to me, feels like a statement as an album, which is rare and almost few and far between now. So I'd like to know, is that something you're cognizant of when you're going in to start a project like Showgirl?
I'm always thinking of a complete set. And I think that's just because that's just the way that my brain's been ever since I started doing music. I have a lot of different albums over the years that I have put out. And when I started working on my Showgirl album, it was along the lines of, I want my listeners to actually know me as a creative. And so like with Just a Bar Thing, it's a fun, flirty thing. But I also have on there What Is Love, which is definitely like a more reggae pop. And then there's Road by Road, which is straight across the board Americana, talking about past lives and reincarnation and all this stuff. And so I really needed to have my listeners know that I'm just not a straight down the middle country person. And And they love it. As far as I know, they do. Love it enough that I was able to put it out on vinyl and CD. So that's a great thing.
Of course. And do you feel like in this modern day and age in music that the country music scene is more adaptable to be able to have country artists branch out and explore different things? Because when I think about country radio in the 90s, there was almost a, I don't want to use the word monotonous because that's not the word I'm looking for, but there was a sound that you got on country radio in the 90s. And country radio in 2024 really is just an entire spectrum, where country music went from being the subcategory to being the category on top, where everything branches from, the way rock music did, where everything kind of branched from rock. Country is now doing the same thing. And do you feel like that's an advantage for artists such as yourself?
Oh, absolutely. When you were talking about 90s country, I was thinking cookie cutter, kind of like Neighborhoods, right? Where you had what worked and you just repeat what works. And now, especially with streaming and people wanting to find different sounds, it really gives us the creativity to really cross blend genres and be true to ourselves, really, you know, and how we all listen and how we absorb music. And it's true, like with the way pop music goes. I was just thinking about it a couple weeks ago. If you listen to 80s rock, right about 1986 is when, if you're listening, you're thinking, man, 80s pop does a massive shift, because it was kind of like an 80s rock, so to speak. But then you have like Def Leppard, and then you have Tiffany or Debbie Gibson, mm-hmm. you know, and they're two totally different extremes, but they were both working in pop music. And even though some people would say like, well, Def Leppard was rock music, they're still being played right next to each other, where it wasn't really divided going, well, this is rock and this is pop. It just was, you know, because it wasn't country. And so they had to be put into that pop category. And if you listen to 80s on 8, you know, on Sirius XM, you will hear the whole gamut depending on what year they're playing. And it's just, it's really funny just to hear how massively music and pop music has changed from 1980 to 1989, and getting right on that cusp of 1989, where now it's like, oh, we're now hitting into kind of like hip hop, you know, and everybody's going to jump, you know? So, and this is the same holds true for country music. I'm really glad that country is actually able to expand and bring multiple genres into country music.
Well, now we're going to flip over our cassette and begin side B. And you know what? Ever since you mentioned Ray Lynn's Keep Up, I have had this song in my head, because I explained to you at the end of the side, it's the song that introduced me to Ray Lynn, but I'm going to go with the original, back to 2011's Hell on Heels. Miranda Lambert, Ashley Monroe, Angelina Presley, Pistol Annies. This is a female power country trio of epic proportions. We are talking about three singers who can and have done just fine on their own. But when they come together, it's a supergroup at the level of the Highwaymen. And I'm sorry, but when I think of female country trios, there's only two that come to mind, and it's the Chicks and Pistol Annies. And actually, God, Shadaisy, but I think that's 90s. I think Shadaisy was 90s.
I loved Shadaisy, and they're 90s.
Yeah. I know. So, I mean, like, they were one of my favorites when I did my country radio show, Little Goodbyes. Oh my God, I could play that song a million times over. I loved it. But Hell on Heels just has that awesome vibe to kick off a side, to get the energy going. And I would be remiss if I did not mention Patreon mixtaper David Owens, who did chime in with Miranda Lambert at the top of the show. But remember, she's still on the table because of the fact that she's one third of Pistol Annies. So there might still be some time for Miranda, but I'm going to kick things off on side B with Hell on Heels.
Perfect. Well, Darn it. I wish you hadn't mentioned them because now I have to mark them off my list.
I scooped you. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Because, well, when you talked about the high women, I think instead of putting out a song that has to do with the high women, which the album is amazing. It came out in 2019. Absolutely love it. I think I'm going to shift gears and talk about one particular person off the High Women album, since we already spoke about Brandi Carlile, but I think I'm going to shift gears and go to Maren Morris. And with Maren, you know, she's kind of wanting to get out of country music. I think she'll always be country, even though she there's a lot of pop in her too. But she helped pave the way for new female country artists, even though she's relatively, I don't want to say she's relatively new in the country market world, but she blew up because her voice is so undeniable and her range is so amazing. And I'm like My Church and I Could Use a Love Song. Those are just fantastic stories. And so many people can relate to My Church, just being out on the road and trying to find what makes you grounded, what's your center, you know, and just trying to make it to where it's not everybody is religious, but everybody can agree on finding something that makes you just feel at home. And I'm just going to have to go with My Church with Maren Morris on our next song.
Oh, I love and hate the fact that you picked it because you totally scooped me on the artist and the song. I didn't know if I was going to go with My Church or Circles Around This Town from 2022's Humble Quest. I was literally teetering on it. So you made the decision for me. Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get an amen? To me, that is a perfect country road trip song. You are taking the sanctity and sanctuary of a church and putting it into a road trip. And it, for me, growing up, my weekly mixtape came from the fact that when I was a kid, I would always make mixtapes. And when my parents would go on road trips, when we'd go on vacation down to the Outer Banks in North Carolina, that was a 13-hour drive. I would have to make hours and hours and hours and hours of cassette tape mixes, which took months of work. I mean, really months of work. And sitting in the car listening to music and being on the road was just a feeling that always put me at peace. And hearing it in 2016 when she first released Hero truly resonated with me because she was explaining what I felt through the lyrics of that song. So I knew immediately she would be massive. And then you take the stuff that she did with Sheryl Crow when she did Prove You Wrong with Sheryl Crow and Stevie Nicks, and she stayed at that level. And that was such an amazing track. Love the song. Love the pick. Hallelujah. Amen. Love it.
Well, not only that, I mean, you think about the story, and I don't want to get too deep into the story with the song The Middle. Like, that song was shopped around to find the right demo singer. And I mean, and like Demi Lovato cut it even, and Demi's voice just wasn't right for what the co-writers or what the writers were longing to hear. And then when Maren did it for them, that's what that was like, yes. We finally found somebody that can deliver the song the way we want it to. And then she ended up just cutting it. So, I mean, that just in itself speaks for how much an amazing singer she is.
Couldn't agree more. And I'm going to follow it up with somebody who I think is cut from similar cloth, but definitely leaning a little bit more towards the pop side of things. But this was one of my favorite songs from 2023. Spoiler alert, it actually made our Songs of 2023 episode. And I'm going to go off the album 20-something, and I'm going to go with Alana Springsteen featuring Chris Stapleton, Ghost in My Guitar. This song weaves the pop sensibilities that Alana brings to her style of country music, but then you overlay this haunting guitar line from Chris Stapleton, and the two marry together in perfect harmony. But Chris never sings on this track. He's just there playing guitar, but his guitar work really makes this a beautifully memorable track. And I think could be a launching point for Alana in 2024, because I still listen to this song as much as I did when I first heard it. It's still in heavy rotation for me right now. And I feel like she could be part of the future of country music if she continues down this path of really bridging the pop country sensibility, because she nailed it in this song.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought her into the mixtape. When I first heard of her, I was like, Springsteen? Like, that automatically caught my attention. And I'll be honest, like, at first I'm like, I don't even care what she sounds like. She has the last name of Springsteen. Like, she's got to be good. But because Bruce Springsteen, I'm not talking about Bruce right now, but he is one of the reasons I even got into the music business. I bought my first cassette tape.
wait, time out. I have to ask, was your first cassette tape Born in the USA?
It was.
Oh my God. Hand to God, strike me dead by lightning. First Christmas, I got two cassette tapes, Born in the USA and Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yep. I remember my friend had a Michael Jackson Thriller poster on her wall. And that's when I think about that time frame in my life. I remember sitting on the front porch listening to Bruce Springsteen with my new Walkman and that picture of Michael Jackson.
Well, I will say there is no relation between Alana and Bruce.
I know.
However, there must be something in the name.
Yeah. She's going to be huge.
All right. Well, we're back to you for track four. What are you going to follow up Ghost in My Guitar with?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ghost in My Guitar. We're going to have to, I was going to do somebody, but I'm changing my mind now just because you said Ghost in My Guitar. I think now is the perfect time to, let's just bring in Taylor. Let's do it. We're going to bring Taylor Swift in now.
Who is this Taylor Swift you speak of? She's country?
It's a guitar. Taylor guitar. The only person who just swept 14 Grammys last night.
Insane.
I'm so incredibly happy for her. I have to say that anybody that I see that knocks Taylor doesn't know Taylor. They haven't heard her music. They don't know her work ethic. They don't know her behind the scenes. They don't know all the garbage she has to do. They don't know how incredibly talented she is. And it's just, I'm not going to go down that rant right now, but we're going to bring Taylor into this picture. The problem is trying to figure out which song. Right now, Lover is sticking out in my head. So maybe we'll do Lover, you know, or we could do Carnegie. That's such a great song. Do you ever have a problem trying to like pick out a favorite Taylor song?
I will say this, you just picked two of them, that's for certain. And I also had You Belong With Me on my list. And if you want to go all the way back, you can go with Picture to Burn. I mean, honestly, you can take any era of Taylor Swift and it would work well in this mixtape.
I think Lover was such an unusual song for her to come out with. It just threw us all for a loop. And I was like, wow, this is like a new sound. It was completely different than the album that she had just put out. And so Lover, I still see the pink and the blue right now. So let's stick with that one.
Well, I'm just going to say that Taylor Swift is playing chess while the rest of the world is playing checkers, because she came out on stage to accept an award for Midnights and announced her new album in a couple of months. I mean, that is just a chess level move right there.
Yeah.
And I have two girls who are obsessed with Taylor Swift. I took the girls to see the Eras movie. Unfortunately, I was not able to secure tickets to an actual Eras tour show, but my oldest said to me, "You're not going to know all the songs tonight, but I want to know which ones were your favorites at the end of the show." And the three that I resonated with the most were Cruel Summer, Betty, and Lover. So I am so glad you picked that one, because to me, it has this almost, as I said to my daughter, a 1950s style of doo-wop mixed with a little bit of country and a modern pop sense. It was really creative, really unique. And I think it's songs like Lover that truly prove that Taylor Swift is an incredible songwriter. I think most people see her as the pop icon, not realizing that there is a lot of thought that goes into these tracks, because Lover doesn't sound like anything out there, and I think it's the perfect choice for this mix.
Thank you. And you hit the nail on the head when you're talking about kind of like a 1950s, 60s sound. And I think that's probably why I resonated with it so much as well, with my love of Motown and soul music and everything. That's exactly it. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for agreeing with the Lover.
Oh, yeah. Well, coming out of that, though, is tough. Like, how do you top or how do you continue the vibe of Taylor Swift? And I'm going to go with an artist that I've seen live a couple of times that has blown my mind every time I've seen her perform. And she is not a country artist per se, but due to her style of music, she has swayed in and out of country over the years with different collaborations, namely Kenny Chesney being the biggest of all of them. I'm going to go with Grace Potter. And I was torn between two songs. I was debating going with a cover song because in 2012, she performed at the Love for Levon benefit in New Jersey at the Izod Center. And she did a cover of the band's I Shall Be Released. I was there with my father. And when the song was over, there was like this long pause before the cheers started because everyone was, their jaws were on the ground and the crowd needed a minute to collect themselves because she was actually crying as she delivered the last line of the song. Just unbelievable performance. My father turned to me and said, I've seen Jimi Hendrix perform. I've never seen anything like that in my life. And it was just a mind-blowing performance. But that one is a little bit more on the classic rock side of things. So I'm going to go with a song she did on her 2012 deluxe edition of her album, The Lion, the Beast, and the Beat. And it's a duet with Kenny Chesney. There's two versions of the song on the album. I'm going to go with the country version. I'm going to go with Stars. Make no mistake, she's not a country artist per se, but she was able to zig and zag into the genre. And Stars is a stunning country song. And I think Kenny Chesney actually elevates this version from the original just because of the harmonies he brings to the fold. Because the song is beautiful regardless, but when there's the vocal harmonies at the end, it just rips my heart out and shows it to me. And it's just so beautiful and so powerful. And I've seen so many people try to sing this song on different shows, American Idol, The Voice, and none of them reach the level of Grace. So I got to put Grace Potter into the mix here.
Now, Sam, I thought that you were going to put You and Tequila.
That was the other one, but I decided to go with Stars because You and Tequila was technically a Kenny Chesney song where she guested. So I kind of wanted to keep this putting the female name in front and from her album. So it tough decision, though. I could have went either way.
I am going with you on that one. I agree with you. Yeah, with it being a Kenny song and her just being a special guest appearance, I think you made the right decision.
I'd love for the two of them to do an entire album together, but I digress. Oh, yeah.
That would be amazing.
I'd love to hear it. But now we're back to you for track six. We're going heavy hitters here now, so.
We are. You know, there are two females that I definitely want to make sure that are on the mixtape before we end. So I'm going to bring in Miranda now. And I think, you know, she did the Marfa tapes. And then some of the songs that are off the Marfa tapes, she put onto another album. And one song that really resonates with me is If I Was a Cowboy. Just lyrically, it's so beautiful. You envision being a cowboy and just the presentation music-wise, you just feel like you're seeing sunsets. You feel like you're out in the open range. You feel powerful in a sense of being a woman and wanting to be that cowgirl in that moment. And it's just, it's such a great song. And I don't know, I think especially when I'm doing shows for rodeos, that song just hits me and I'm like, I am full-blown cowgirl right now, you know. And I'm like, I don't have to say if I was a cowboy because I'm a cowgirl right now, you know. So definitely Miranda right now.
I mean, Palomino is an amazing album. And I think once again, kind of like what you were saying with Taylor Swift, she writes these songs and she is an amazing songwriter. I know everybody hears her voice and that is what really grabs you, but she is also writing these tunes as well. And then the fact that she features the B-52s on the same album.
Yeah.
What is happening? Like, it just works so well. That, If I Was a Cowboy, is probably my favorite song on the album, but Music City Queen is, it's tough because the B-52s are just so much fun and they bring me back to my like middle school dances. Like, it's just, it's hard to not pick that song as well. And obviously David Owens' Patreon mixtaper brought her up. We can't not talk Miranda Lambert in this episode. Right. And the fact that she made it twice with Pistol Annie's is a nice little asterisk because she deserves to be here. And I think following that up, I'm going to go with somebody else who definitely deserves to be here. But I feel like something we haven't done a lot on this mixtape is go a little deeper into the Americana folky side of things. We did it a little bit on Side A, and I want to bring it in here as well. And I'm going to go back to 2013 for this one. And this was a song that was written by Shane McAnally and Joan Osborne. The latter, 90s rock fans will remember from that smash hit One of Us that Dr. Evil sang in one of the Austin Powers movies. But I digress. I'm going to go with Kacey Musgraves' Merry-Go-Round. Just a beautiful folk rock song with contrastingly cynical lyrics. So there's this beautiful melody with this biting story that is literally oil and water, and they're not supposed to mix, but it just is the perfect concoction. I mean, this song is just unbelievable. And this is somebody that you shared the stage with.
I did. In fact, she was on her merry-go-round tour. Yeah. Thank you for saying that and recognizing that. It was in Portland, Oregon, when I got to share the stage with her. It was pretty fantastic. So, and it was like I said, it was her first single that was out, and she was out on the road promoting it.
So since you saw her kind of at the onset of her career, did you know, seeing her live, that she had that it factor that was going to make her the musician that we all know today?
For me personally, I did, especially because I'm from a small town in Nebraska, and I could definitely put myself in that kind of situation where I'm like, oh, yeah, that is my brother actually smoking weed down, you know? And how did she know that Mary is a true person? Let's okay, never mind, moving on.
It's a poetic song, very smartly written. Mm-hmm. And very biting and very scathing, but there's this beautiful melody. And the two just work so well together. So, merry-go-round.
Perfect. Yeah. I'm glad that you brought Kacey into the mixtape, even if it's on side B, because I would have felt really bad if she didn't make it on the list, you know?
I hate to say it, but you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to go, wait a minute, I forgot. Ugh! And I do it every time. It happens.
I know. You know, I used to do this Women of Country Music and their first number one hits and do it out on the road. And that was so much fun, but I would do it from like decades. So I'm like 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s to today.
Nice.
And you can't hit all the female artists.
No.
I mean, it made it a little easier for me saying if they had a number one, I would do their first number one. So that made it a little better. And I know it's not this decade, modern country, but I do have to give homage to Barbara Mandrell because she is literally what got me into the music business as far as being a female country artist. And just her voice, her stage presence, her instrumentation that her and her sisters had, played so many instruments. She played pedal steel at the age of 5. Like, that's unbelievable.
It's insane.
And so with that being said, Barbara Mandrell was my first female influence in country music and my second female influencer. With stage presence, with voice, with choosing songs, was Reba. And so I want to make sure Reba gets on our mixtape. And I was trying to debate on what song, but I think we just have to go with Fancy, you know? And I was thinking, well, I can go back to the 80s with Reba and do like Kathy's Clown or whoever's in New England. But I think we will just stick with the one that skyrocketed her into every household in the country music world, which was Fancy. Mm-hmm. And heck, you know, when I, in the late 90s, and I was very young, but I had a 6-foot Reba in my bedroom. I did. I had a cutout 6 foot Reba, and she was my inspiration, and I wanted to be just like her. And so I give many, many thanks to Reba as far as what I do on stage and my stage performance and how I talk to the audience. It's all Reba.
Reba is a national treasure. I mean, God, I can't even begin to say how influential she is on female country artists. Obviously, with her being on The Voice right now, it's almost getting a resurgence. But I feel like there were so many times over the last several decades, if you see him, if you see her with Brooks and Dunn, I'm a Survivor, 7 Minutes in Heaven, Turn on the Radio. She even did an amazing cover, because I know you like dance music and Motown. She does an amazing, fun dance version of You Keep Me Hanging On, which I used to play on my radio show all the time. So there's a little bit of the dance country for you. Love the pick. Absolutely love it.
Thank you.
And that's really tough to follow up, because these are big, big names. And I am torn right now, because we haven't talked about the chicks yet. I want to, but there's one other artist that has a song from 2023 that I feel like I need to include. So
how many more do we have?
We each have one pick left.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
So this is where it gets ridiculous, because I want to. So I'm going to give a shout out to the chicks right now, because they're amazing. They're my wife's favorite group. I took her to Madison Square Garden to see the chicks on the Top of the World tour. And holy crap, they put on such an amazing show. But God, when we're talking modern country, 2023 was such a great year for this singer. And hell, there's hell everywhere I go. I'm just sticking with The Devil I Know, Ashley McBride. This song just slays. I'm a rock guy at heart. And she brought the heft and the heavy guitars to country music effortlessly. And when she was discussing the album, I'm going to read a quote here. She said, people were saying to her, y'all are too country. So we leaned into that. More country it is. Y'all are awfully rock leaning for a country artist. Is that so? You ain't seen nothing yet. Last thing y'all need is another tender finger picking song. Oh, tender makes you uneasy, cowboy? I hear you. Let's see how much more tender we can be. We listened to all those opinions and said, I hear you. I understand what you're saying. But sadly, there's no room on the record for your opinion. We'll do what we want. And that's exactly what she did. The Devil You Know is a monster track. And as my last song of the night, that's the one I'm going to throw in at track 9.
I'm so glad that you chose Ashley, because now I can mark her off my list. But that still, I feel, oh man. No, you know what? I really want to talk about Carly Pierce, but I feel okay. I wish I could give a shout out to Carly Pierce. I wish I could talk about Maddie and Tay. I wish I could talk about Caitlin Smith.
Remember, there's always room on volume 2.
There is. You know what? I'm going to go with Mickey Guyton. I'm going with Mickey Guyton. She is the first Black female solo artist to be nominated for a country Grammy. Black female artists are starting to get recognition in the country market. And she is such a wonderful human being. And the song that I think the song that I want to play is What Are You Gonna Tell Her? And that resonates for all the women of color. It resonates with any female in general. And I know it's a really heavy song, but I think, and you know, you never want to end a playlist on a heavy song, but we didn't get her in any earlier. And I think she deserves to be on the mixtape. So we have to close it out with the next mover and shaker as far as a female country artist goes.
I'm so glad you chose her. I discovered her back in 2021. I am a rock guy as well. And Metallica put out an album called The Metallica Blacklist. And it featured covers of all the songs from the Black album. And she did a version of Nothing Else Matters on that album that just blew my mind. And I am so glad that she's being included in this list, because she is definitely the future of country music. And the fact that we're at a point in 2024 where musically country music can expand and bring in artists like Mickey with such a unique statement and style to her voice, and the way she can weave in a Metallica song and still keep that country sound. And I'm not going to lie, you're 100% right. What Are You Gonna Tell Her is a ridiculously heavy song to close with, but I think it absolutely works because you're coming out of Ashley McBride's The Devil You Know, which is a heavy musical song, and What Are You Gonna Tell Her is a heavy song only thematically.
Exactly.
And there you have it, Mixtapers, side B of our ultimate modern female country artist mixtape, which kicked off with Pistol Annie's Hell on Heels, Maren Morris's My Church, Alana Springsteen with Chris Stapleton, Ghost in My Guitar, Taylor Swift's Lover, Grace Potter's Stars with Kenny Chesney, Miranda Lambert's If I Was a Cowboy, Kacey Musgraves' Merry-Go-Round, Reba McEntire's Fancy, Ashley McBride's The Devil I Know, and Mickey Guyton's What Are You Gonna Tell Her. Head over to myweeklymixtape.com to hear all the songs we've discussed in this mix through the playlist embedded on the episode page. Now, I'm looking at both sides of this mixtape, Carrie. I think we've made a strong case for the fact that female country music is alive and well in 2024.
I'm hoping so. And if people don't think so, then they need to start listening to more of your playlists and start doing their research, because there's so much great female talent out there. And just we're doing our part, right?
You certainly are. And as part of that amazing female country music scene, what does the rest of 2024 have in store for you? You did tease a fact that there is possibly some more disco country coming our way. What can fans expect in 2024?
Yes, I will be coming out with some more singles. I'm thinking I'm going to end up putting out a whole album that's kind of along those lines, but definitely in the next few months, I will be having another single come out. I'm not sure if I want to tell you what the single's called or if I should just wait.
Do tell.
Oh, okay. Well, the next single that's coming out in the next couple months is called Habit. And it's along the lines of Just Like, but a little bit more in your face. Like Just Like was kind of like the sweetness of it. Habit's going to be a little bit more edgy. And I'm doing some shows throughout the Northwest, and I have a lot of writing retreats I'm going to be on. I'm also, side note, you know, I'm also a benefit auctioneer because I love helping people. And so I got some auctions that I'm working on. And other than that, I'm just enjoying life, and I'm just going to keep putting out music and improve my craft, because you keep improving yourself until you die. I mean, plain and simple, because if you don't, then you're boring. You got to just keep improving yourself. So that's what I'm going to be doing.
Carrie, this has been an absolute pleasure. First off, I hope you have a wonderful birthday. Thank you so much for joining me on My Weekly Mixtape, and I hope to have you back sometime down the road.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, and I hope everybody loves our mixtape.
And remember, mixtapers, you can find My Weekly Mixtape on all the social media haunts at My Weekly Mixtape. You can also head to myweeklymixtape.com to check out the full catalog of My Weekly Mixtape episodes. And if you like what you're hearing on the show, you can help me out by either telling a friend, leaving the show a 5-star review wherever you're tuning in, or becoming a Patreon mixtaper at patreon.com/myweeklymixtape. That's all for this week. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, enjoy the tunes.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.